Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Was he a disciple? One of the 12. Anybody know? He was. Okay, where did he rank as one of the 12? Top or bottom? Did you know there was a ranking? There was. There was one that he liked best. Anybody know who that was? It was John. In fact, when you read through the Gospel of John, he'll say, it won't mention his name, but he'll refer to the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so that's how John refers to himself when he writes the Gospel of John, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so you have the 12 disciples, and then you have the three disciples that were very close to Jesus, who were Peter, James, and John. And then you have the one that seemed to have the closest relationship with Jesus, and that was John. So, the Gospel of John, if you are new to reading the Bible and want to start reading the Bible, the best book in the Bible to probably start reading is the Gospel of John. It talks about God's plan of salvation. It's just a really good read to understand the whole of Scripture. It's a great place to start. So if you're, just don't go to the Old Testament and start on like Leviticus. Leviticus has some good stuff, but, probably not when you're just starting out, okay? Go to the Gospel of John. Well, God has been doing some great things in our church. We had Stephen and Bailey here the first of the month. We talked about missions. They're missionaries to Africa. And you can just still keep them in our prayer. Bailey's still having back issues, and they're still trying to figure out some stuff there. So you just pray for wisdom there, if you would, for them. They need to get that stuff cleared up before they can go back. But they talked about missions, but also about being missional. What's the difference between missions and missional? Anybody know? Stephen touched upon it a little bit. What's the difference between missions and missional? Anybody know? Missions is the term that God has called us to go into all the world to share Christ, make disciples of all nations. And by missions, a lot of times we talk about praying for our missionaries, giving towards missionaries. Being missional means that each one of us is involved in the mission, more than just giving, more than just praying, but we are active ourselves in bringing people to Christ, okay? Being missional. And so that's what we talked about that with Stephen. We also just talked about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So we talked about some last week, and we were in Zechariah chapter 37, right? And we talked about that renewal comes as we do two things, okay? Anybody know? Do two things. The Valley of Dry Bones. You're going to have to go back and listen to the message online. Okay, renewal comes as we do two things. I must not have did a very good job last week. All right, two things. Respond to God's word and respond Spirit of God. All right. Salvation or any moves of God happen when those two things, when we respond to the word of God and we respond to the Spirit of God working in our lives. So now we're going to talk, some of the best theology or teaching of the Holy Spirit is found in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 16. And we're not going to cover all that today. Well, we are, but I'm going to condense it down a little bit for you, okay? Typically, I take a smaller passage and break it down, but we're going to take three chapters, and we're going to kind of boil them down, okay? Kind of like you would if you're making spaghetti sauce or whatever on the stove, and you have to kind of just boil it down and get down to, okay, what was John saying here? What was Jesus saying through John? So that is what we're going to do. It's some of the best teaching on the Holy Spirit. Acts, we see the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church and early believers, but in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 16, we see how the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives. All right, so go to chapters 14 through 16. We're going to begin in 14. Now, just a little bit of context with where John is writing. All that he says in these chapters is the night that Jesus is going to get betrayed. Okay? The other Gospels tell us that they gather in an upper room. They gather around. They have some fellowship, some food. It's the first time he'd take some bread and he'd take some grape juice and says, I want all of you to partake of this. It's going to signify what I'm going to do on the cross. Okay? The cross hadn't happened yet. It was going to happen the next day. They were oblivious to what was about to take place and what was to happen. But Jesus is now talking about, hey, I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to be with my Father. And the disciples are kind of getting, oh, really? Okay, if you just read into it, they're getting a little bit uneasy, just thinking, you know what, your leader, the guy that you look up to, the person that you think is going to be the Messiah, and these guys are thinking, hey, you know what, he's going to be the head dog over all Israel and all the whole world. He's going to be the Messiah, and we are going to be the 12. We're going to be, you know, man, we got positions. We got job security, okay? They didn't know how it was all going to happen, but that's what they're picturing. Also, now Jesus says, hey, I'm going back to the Father. I'm not going to be with you any longer. It's kind of like, whoa, what's happening here? It's kind of a little bit heavy. And they were trying to process through all that. He says, I'm going to be taken out of the picture. And from there, they go into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus would be betrayed by Judas. All that is foretold there in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, of what would happen and take place. But then listen to what Jesus has to say. Verses 15 through 18 of John 14. If you love me and keep my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Some of your translations say helper, counselor, are some of the words. NIV, I think, has advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither knows him, but you know him before he lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. And I pray that you just take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. In the Gospel of John, we see a different word used for the Holy Spirit. Usually he's referred to as the Holy Spirit. Greek, that would be what, Sanctus, or I'm getting rusty on my Greek, so it doesn't make any difference to you. But he's referred to as the Holy Spirit, okay? But in John, he refers to him in a different terminology. It's a Greek word that you can all remember. It's called paraclete, okay? And we use that word even in our culture because in the school system, you have paras, right? They come along the teacher and they help. The idea of a paraclete is that God says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He's already in you. But now he's going to come in a different way to equip you, to empower you, to be upon your life. And he's going to come alongside of you and to be a helper to you. Okay? A counselor, an advocate to walk with you, even through the difficult times of life. Now, you take it back to their setting. What happens that night? They go into the Garden of Gethsemane. They just had gotten the speech that Jesus is going to be taken away from them. They kind of understand it. They probably don't. Jesus is pretty intense because he realizes the cross is going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. It says that he sweats like drops of blood. It's pretty intense for him. He's praying through the night. It's very intense. And the disciples are what? You know, they were trying to pray. You ever tried that pray and sleep? You know, works pretty good. I know a lot of you do that. All right. They were trying to pray and sleep. Really, they were trying to harp. And Jesus says, you know what? A lot of times the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so Jesus woke him up a few times. And then all of a sudden Judas comes into the picture with the soldiers. They arrest Jesus and pandemonium breaks loose. Everybody runs for their life. The soldiers take Jesus. He is tried through the rest of that night, crucified the next day. Think about where they're at. They have poured the 3.5 years of their life in following Jesus. Jesus has poured into them. They have all these aspirations of what is going to happen, what is going to take place. Some of it was accurate, some of it wasn't. But also now everything that they thought was true and what's going to happen is in chaos. You ever have that happen in your life? Life is just cooking along, and all of a sudden you get this curveball that comes. You go, where did that come from? Now, it might not be the same situation as there, but life has a way of throwing those curveballs at you. And it was going to happen for the disciples, but Jesus says, you know what, there's some good news. You know, they probably, you know, at the table when Jesus is talking to them, and he says, hey, I'm going to not leave you as orphans. I'm going to, you know, they probably said, oh, great, Jesus, you know, thank you. All of a sudden, the next day when all, if we can use the word hell breaks loose, can we use that here? Okay, all right. When all hell breaks loose, all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, do you think those words started to come back to the disciples? I'm not going to leave you. And now they begin to process because everything they thought was true was being challenged. All right? What they thought was true is being challenged or trying to sort through all that. And life can do that to us. Oh, it might be the death of a loved one. It might be a financial crisis. I'm going to get caught up to my notes here. There's a lot of things, sickness, trials, doubts. All those things can leave us questioning life and trying to navigate through that. What is truth? God, are you there? Where are you at, God? You know, the disciples were used to, you know, being with Jesus, and then, you know, you're Jesus. And they would ask him questions, right? And they would say, Jesus, what was all that about when you healed this person today? What was all that about? And Jesus would go in and explain. They had fellowship with him. They had troubles and hardships, and they couldn't understand Jesus was there with them in person, right? He wasn't going to be like that anymore. He was going to be with the Father. But Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you the Holy Spirit to be with you, to walk with you, to walk alongside of you, to take my place. I'll still be with you in spirit, but not in flesh. And what we see in these three chapters is that, if you were to boil them down, I see three things, okay? That the Holy Spirit, his role is to walk alongside us and help us in three different areas. The first of all, he will guide us into all truth. And that's mentioned throughout these three chapters. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, counselor, helper, whatever word you want to put in there, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of, say it with me, Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. He's going to lead you into what is truth. Because Jesus wasn't going to be there anymore to say, hey, you know, Jesus, what did you think about this? Right or wrong? Now he says, you know what? You know what? And they didn't have this either. Okay? They didn't have this. Now they had half of it, the Old Testament. They had a lot of that. They didn't have the New Testament. All they had were the teachings of Jesus within their heart that he had poured into them. Now, I don't know how good a memory you have. Okay, but they were recalling all this from memory, what Jesus had. And many of these things he had probably repeated as he went from town and to village. He had repeated a lot of these things. But now they were going to have to recall the things that Jesus had communicated with them. Now, we also struggle with that as well, right? You know, you come on Sunday mornings and go, oh man, Pastor Brent, I know he said something about that. What did he say? You know, you're talking to your friend and your friend has questions. And you go, man, Pastor Brent just talked about that. And he's kind of, you know what? If you can pray, I know you can pray. Say, God, help me remember. He'll guide us into all truth. Amen? That is the role of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but the advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. Yeah, don't you wish the Holy Spirit would come along and help you on your tests, remind you of all that you've studied? Maybe he would if you studied hard enough, you know. But he's going to remind you of everything I said. So the disciples, that had to be an encouraging thing for them to realize, you know what? The Holy Spirit was going to help them recall what had happened. As you've read your Bible and gone through that, and all of a sudden you kind of, oh yeah, I need to, I'm going through a difficult time. What was that verse I read this morning, you know? And it's kind of, oh yeah, blessed is he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my strength, my refuge, my God, my fortress. In him I'll trust. Amen? What did I just quote? Anybody know? Psalms? Psalms 91. See, you can treasure those things within your heart, and he can bring those things to remembrance when you need to hear them. When temptation comes, and you're tempted by whatever it is, lust, things on the TV, on the internet, by friends. You know what? The Holy Spirit can come and remind you that no temptation that is formed against you will overcome you. Right? You can stand up at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is greater. God will help you to stand up under it. When Satan comes to say that you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything, you're a failure, you can go back to Scripture saying, Philippians 1:6, that he that has begun a good work in me will complete it. Amen? That's the Word of God. The Spirit will guide us into all truth, not only to overcome temptation, but to live for God, to be missional for God, to live for Him in a way that we can not only live victoriously, but also be missional and share our faith with the world around us, to be a light, to be a radiant Christian. John 15:26, but the Advocate, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. That's His first role. He'll guide us into truth. And I just think that for the disciples, that was very relevant. For us, it's very relevant as well. That the Holy Spirit, you know, have you ever been reading the Bible, and you've probably read maybe that passage before, all of a sudden it's like the words come off the page and go whoop, whoop, whoop. You ever had that happen? Yeah. What's that all about? That's the Holy Spirit. He's making the Word come alive and apply it to your life. He's speaking to you. Now, I've never heard the Spirit's audible voice. Maybe you have. I haven't. Okay? Brent, do this, do that. I've never had the Holy Spirit speak to me in that way. He's a spirit, and we have a spirit as well. And He speaks to my spirit. All right? He speaks to my spirit. And as I fellowship in prayer and reading God's Word, God speaks to me. And He'll speak to you. He is the Paraclete. He's the one called alongside you to guide you into all truth. Secondly, in verse 27, 18 and 27 of John 14, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Now, I don't know if anybody, we maybe have some here that maybe you were in the foster care system for whatever reason. That's a difficult thing to overcome, and it's very doable. But you have to really wrestle through some of those things. And why were mom and dad there? Why did they leave me? A lot of times they blame it on themselves. We have orphans. When I was in Haiti with Convoy of Hope a couple years ago, man, I was surrounded by kids that were orphans. Why? Their parents had been killed in the earthquake. It's a pretty moving thing. Some bright kids, lovely kids. You know, the church is there doing their best to provide them teaching, love, a family in the midst of that tragedy. And Jesus says, you know what, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go in flesh, but I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you in all truth, but He's also going to fill you with joy and peace. Now, do you think the disciples needed some joy and peace a day later, like 24 hours later, than less? All of a sudden, whoa, what's going on here? You know, fear is gripping their heart. They're ready to run and hide. Peter says, you know, they say, Peter, aren't you one of the disciples? He says, no, you know, it's a little servant girl. And he's scared, halfway out of his mind. You know, I don't know Jesus. Who is he, you know? They were scared. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to fill you with my joy and peace. This is what he says, 14:18. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. And my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Wow. You know, Jesus knew it was going to happen. They didn't, but Jesus did. Do not let your hearts be troubled. How do you not let your heart be troubled when you have soldiers come and your leaders taken away? And do not be afraid. You know, there's times that our peace is threatened. And a lot of times our peace and our joy is based upon what? What's it based upon? Circumstances, absolutely. In fact, happenings is based, that word comes from, it's based on happenings. Okay, happiness, happenings. Okay? You know, we get up and, you know, the sun is shining. I don't know. You wake up in a pretty good mood today? Today seemed like a good day. I don't know. I have to do a study on that some days. Some days I think people just kind of wake up and whoosh, they're just ready for the world. And other days it's kind of like, you know, just get hit by a truck, you know. So I'm not sure. Probably a lot of things feed into that. But where was I going with that? Happenings. There we go. But if joy and peace is based upon circumstances, you're kind of like this, aren't you? You ever been on that ride? Woo! It's kind of fun for a while, and then you get sick, right? It can steal your joy and happiness. One minute it can be there, and all of a sudden, man, you get the notice. $1,000 is due. And that piece that was there just goes whoop right out the window. There's a lot of stuff that can happen in our life. We get that call. You ever got that call? That dreaded call. It could be a tragedy's happened. Something's happened. You get that call. And the peace and joy that was there is gone. But you know what Jesus said? He goes, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who is in you and now is going to be upon your life. And he's going to fill you with joy and peace in his presence. And the important thing to remember there is that it's a continual, it's a constant joy and peace. That even though life may be doing this, you can be going, shh. Why? Because it's not based upon circumstances or happenings. It's based upon his Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Does that make sense? And he goes, I'm not going to give you peace and joy like the world has to offer. What does the world have to offer? Pleasure and all those things that can make you happy for 1 minute and then you got the hangover the next day? Okay? That's the peace that the world gives you. Okay? Or pleasure where, you know, it was fun for a moment. Now you have a child that's on the way that doesn't have a mom or dad really. Pleasure. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus says, I'm going to give you a joy and a peace that the world can't duplicate. It can't manufacture because it's based upon the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the disciples were about ready to go through one of the most difficult trials in their life that they would have to face. And they know what? They would make it through it. They would bounce back. They'd be filled with the Holy Spirit 40 days later on the day of Pentecost, and now they would be part of a movement where on the first day 3,000 get saved and the early church is started, and we're a product of what they started way back over 2,000 years ago. Why? Because they had the power of the Holy Spirit upon their life. And even though they face, you read through the first couple chapters, first 8, 9 chapters of Acts, you're going to see what they had. A lot of powerful things happen, but it happened in the midst of being taken before the Sanhedrin, being threatened. They were whipped. They were persecuted. They were told not to talk anymore in the name of Jesus. What would that look like if you were told not to talk anymore in the name of Jesus? Would you do it? Or would you still be a light for him? And you say, well, it doesn't happen anymore today. Yes, it does. You go to Iran or you go to Pakistan. You go to Sudan. Very much still happening today. You know what? Those believers are standing strong for Jesus Christ. Why? It's not because they're resilient people. They are. But they're dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to provide peace and a joy in the midst of all that is happening. He will guide them into truth. He will fill you with your joy and peace. There's a third one, even just on that joy and peace. Psalms 23, you know, that's referred to a lot. But David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, what? Fear no evil. Why? Because your rod and your staff are reminders of his presence. Right? He can't see the shepherd. It's in the valley of shadow. It's dark. Scary. Okay? Going to the haunted house. But you feel that hand on your shoulder. You sense his presence, even though you can't see him. All right? There's a joy and there's a peace. A peace in the midst of the storm. John 15, 1 through 8, then talks about a third thing, that he will empower us to be missional. To be missional means we carry out the mission of Christ to make disciples of all nations. and that we are taking an active role. God is not expecting us to do this on our own, but rather to rely upon the empowering presence of this Holy Spirit. So listen to what Jesus has to say in verses 5 through 8. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, see the relationship deal? You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What does fruit look like for a Christian? What does that look like? Tell me. Love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. What else? Oh, notice love and joy and peace are part of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, okay. What else? What's that? Oh, okay. Bringing people to Christ. Is that a fruit? Yep, I think it is. What else? Apples and oranges. Well, yes. Yeah, the God is going to go before us, right? And provide. Yeah. Fruit. You will bear much fruit. You'll fulfill the mission that Christ has called us to do. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that will be thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Did you hear that? Remain in me and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's a pretty powerful statement. Now you can pray that if you've been spending time with God the Father, right? Now this verse has been kind of tweaked sometimes where people say, you know what? There's the Cadillac that I really want, and Jesus says, if I want anything. That's taken the scripture in my mind too far. But I don't want to go to the opposite extreme either, where if I'm abiding with Christ and I'm fellowshipping with Him, I know His heart. And I know what is important to Him. And He says, you know what? If you've been abiding in me, if you've been remaining in me, ask whatever you wish. Ask for people to come to know Christ. Ask for your neighbors to believe. Ask for people's healing. Ask for it in my name and I will do it. Because you know the will of the Father. The problem is, we many times don't know what to ask because we haven't been spending enough time with the Father, so we don't know what's on His heart. Right? If we've been spending time with the Father, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Those are some powerful words. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. See, it's in the context of bearing much fruit. You know what? If you're praying that you can reach your block for Christ, you know what? God, that's a prayer I think that God would really say, you know what? I'd love to honor that. That would bring glory to my name. To pray for your loved ones that don't know Him, you know what? That'd be a prayer that would bring a lot of glory to His name. As we abide in God and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we sense His mission. We're inspired. Remember Stephen talked about that? And we were empowered. This was true for the early church. As the Holy Spirit came upon those early believers, they had a boldness that they did not have previously. The Holy Spirit was in them. But now the Holy Spirit came in a way, came upon them is the word that is used. And it gave them a boldness and a courage to fulfill what Christ had called them to do. Boldness and courage. How many could use more of that in your own life? Really? One or two of you? I need it. I can be a chicken at times, okay? I'm getting better. But I'm not this person that is, you know, in your face and type of thing. I'm more of a gentle giant. Well, I'll go with that, okay? But you know what? The Holy Spirit has helped me on many occasions just to know when and to share with people and know what to say, to give me the boldness and courage. If He can do that for you, He obviously can do it for me. If He's done it for me, He can do it for you. That's what I'm trying to say. Paul says in Colossians, Paul was a pretty dominant leader. For a long time, he was opposed Christ. He was responsible for persecution. In fact, Stephen, Acts chapter 8 and 9, Paul's responsible for having him stoned and killed. Okay? And a lot of the Christians he persecuted and arrested. Until God got a hold of Paul's life, they had a power encounter, and God says, you know what? I'm stronger than you are. Okay? Blinds him, knocks him off his horse. And Paul's converted. So much so that he will dedicate the rest of his life to starting churches and going into places that had, it was unplowed ground. It was new fertile soil. And he faced opposition. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned, left for dead. He was thrown out of towns and communities, but he never gave up. He was so converted and convinced of what Christ had called him to do, to be a light to the Gentiles, that he gave it all he had. And even when he was in prison, and he wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, he wrote from prison. He said, even here, I'm sharing Christ. I'm a witness for Christ. Everybody knows that I'm in here, not because of what I've done, but because of Christ. Everybody knows it. See, he was leading soldiers, fellow inmates to Christ. He goes, you know, you can't shut me up. The Holy Spirit is going to flow through me. The Holy Spirit will empower us. And next week we're going to talk more about just how he wants to manifest his power through us, through the gifts of the Spirit. Paul says in Colossians, he's writing this from prison, he says, he, referring to Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's the goal, to reach people and to help them to become mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all my energy. Is that what he says? What does he say? With all his energy? Who's his? God's, the Holy Spirit. With all Christ's energy. There's a cooperation. Paul's given it all he has, but he's saying, I cannot do it without Christ in me, empowering me, which he so powerfully works in me. As Paul preached, people were saved. As Paul prayed, people were healed and delivered. As Paul went forward, I mean, you read through the Gospel of Acts and all the churches that were started through the ministry of Paul, it's incredible. In today's terms, it's incredible. But Paul didn't do it on his own. He did it as the Holy Spirit enabled him. I'm going to have the musicians come. And the question I wanted to leave us with is, how do you and I move from where we are at to where the Holy Spirit is operating in our lives like Jesus said it could? Where he's guiding us into truth. Where he's filling us with his joy and his peace. Where he's empowering us to share Christ with the world around us. How do we move from where we are to where we need to be? There's one word. And this may be oversimplifying it, but it's where it begins. It's a three-letter word. Anybody want to guess? Begins with an A. Ends with a K. Ask. Ask. That comes up 13 times in those three chapters. Ask. See, the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon Jesus, did you know that Jesus operated under the power of the Holy Spirit? He could have operated. He was God, man. But when he came to earth, he became like us. He was clothed with humanity. Philippians chapter 1 and 2. And he set aside the glory of God to be like us. And as he began his ministry, he was baptized by John in water, immersed. And as he came up, all of a sudden, what descended upon him? A white dove. And the dove represented what? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Why was it a dove? Well, I don't know. You could read into a lot of it. But doves are pretty, they're not like a hawk or an eagle that kind of comes, you know, attacks. A dove is gentle. maybe sometimes a little bit unassuming. And see, the Holy Spirit's not going to force himself upon you. But if you ask, if you say, God, I need the paraclete, the one called alongside, to guide me to truth, to fill me with joy and presence, to empower me to know what you've called me to do. I've sensed it in my heart, but I need your help. And we ask. Amen? So this morning, where you're at, that's going to be your altar this morning. Would you stand? And I just want you to take a posture, if you're comfortable with it. If I'm just really pushing it out of your comfort zone, you don't have to. But would you just raise your hands if you're comfortable in doing that this morning and say, just ask the Holy Spirit to come. I don't know what your need is this morning. If you need him to come along and to be that counselor, that helper, to guide you into some of the truth in your own life, saying, God, what should I do in this situation? I don't know what to do. Pull up that chair with the Spirit and have him guide you into truth through prayer and God's word and say, God, guide me to your truth. Saying, God, life has really thrown me some curveballs and I just don't have peace right now. I can't sleep at night. I don't have any joy in my life. Saying, Holy Spirit, come. Fill me with your joy and your presence. Because right now it's having my lunch. Life is. Or maybe your need is you just sense God. There's people that God has been placing upon your heart to share Christ with. And you say, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know when to say it. See, that's the Holy Spirit. He'll guide us, but he also will give us words to say, and he'll equip us with the boldness and the courage. If you ask, so would you ask him this morning? Just saying, Holy Spirit, come. Come upon my life. He's there. If you've asked Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit is there. You can't be saved without it. He's the guarantee that I am saved. If you sense his Spirit in, that's it. You know you're saved. Even though some days you may not feel like it, you're saved. But now he wants to come in this other way, just to empower, to fill, to come upon your life, to influence your life, and equip you, fill you. Amen? So where you're at, just would you raise your hands if you're comfortable with that this morning? We're going to close with this song. It just says, Holy Spirit, rain down. And it even talks about some of the words that comforter and friend, how we need your touch again.
Spirit.